It is Tuesday, the 21st of October, and this is episode 226 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to the next episode of the saga that is Digital About Outbox, the ongoing technology podcast. I'm Chris, as ever, joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Evening, Chris. I've just noticed that you can't talk tonight.
Yes, I am having problems, mostly due to probable alcohol poisoning, trying to keep up with much younger people while drinking and then bouncing on trampolines, jumping down hills and generally acting the fool.
I was waiting for something else up after the fool. I was waiting for like the fool Monty or something, but no, it's just the fool.
The fool. Fool. Not the fool. The fool.
So before we cut to like the interesting tech chat, it was your last race this weekend.
It was.
How did you get on? How did you do?
I actually had a really good weekend. I came second and third, which sounds really good, but that lost me two place in the championship.
So. I was going to say, because your rival, the guy who was in the leader championships was like miles behind. He was in sixth and fifth and all sorts of nonsense.
So he kind of lost the championship, so he was a bit gutted. But the guy that was just behind me...
was managed, awesome.
Yeah, he had the perfect weekend, pretty much. And... yes, sadly that meant I'm down in third, but third's okay. Third's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, just ask Rubens Barrichello. He's used to that.
Yes, I am the Rubens Barrichello of the catering world. Let's get on with some news rather than rambling on.
I was going to say height-wise is correct, but you're like the fat version of Rubens Barrichello.
Shut up. Third is very, very good, and I'm very, very happy.
Chris, you did excellent. Let's be honest.
There you go. Fine.
You did excellent.
Let's get on with some news.
No. One more question.
Oh, go on.
Are you continuing on next year?
Yes.
Hey, fantastic.
Back for more. Always. Yeah. As long as I can keep the money coming. Anyone wants to sponsor me? Go for it. You're more than welcome. Apple have been talking to us this week, and they've been titillating us with new products. So we've got a new iPad Air, we've got a new Mac, and what else we got? We got a few other bits and bobs. Mac Mini's been sort of upgraded as well. As well as that, they've been sort of reintroducing all the stuff that they've talked to us about before. So let's go through and talk about that keynote that they made. So Apple Pay was where they started, and they're basically just rolling it out a bit wider.
Launched yesterday. So in America, lots of people, lots of geeks went out for the first time ever and bought stuff. Like they went to McDonald's and they went to wherever that was doing Apple Pay, and it worked. And they were almost amazed at the... seemingly it's actually quite a slick process. The whole, take a photo of your credit card, take a picture, and it all kind of worked quite seamlessly. For lots of them, it worked really well. But there's some credit card companies and providers have said, no, you can't use our card. So seemingly, so Chase is one of the big American, banks, and there's an Amazon card, and Amazon said, no, you cannot use that card. but for the folk that it worked with, it was seemingly a really good experience, really easy to buy. And then the whole, getting all your receipts and everything fairly seamless was a joy. So good to know that worked, and hurry up here. There was an announcement last week about Visa.
Yes, I want to spend more money. I want to spend more money through Apple. I want to do this.
There was an announcement that Visa had in Europe had signed up a whole load of people to support Apple Pay. So hopefully,
the only thing I dislike about it is that this is, it's only going to be on Apple products, and then people are going to buy into it. It's going to be locked down, and if it was opened up, it would be fine. But it bugs me a bit because other people have been trying to do it for ages.
They have, and I do wonder if it does need somebody with the might of Apple, because see all the open ones?
It's no traction.
And I can't explain it. But all the open ones, they all fail. I don't know if it's good at all.
Yeah, I know they do. They totally fail, and then suddenly Apple Pay. Why are people so happy just to, spend their money like... anyway, bugs me a bit. We put all our trust into Apple, which is just not the right place to be.
And I don't think we're putting all the trust in Apple. It's just something about
infrastructure's relying on them now.
Yeah, but I think they've nailed that whole experience again. So that see the bit that's at the end user works really well because it still sits on top of all the pay platforms. But for whatever reason, they've got everybody signed up and on board.
I know.
Whereas for the other ones, it's all piecemeal and bitty.
Apple Watch, the SDK, WatchKit SDK. So that is it the actual SDK rolling out in November, or are they actually going to start?
SDK in November, so third-party developers can start to crack on with developing their apps ready for an Apple Watch release next year.
There we go. iOS 8.1, so it includes Apple Pay. What else have we got in there?
iCloud Photo Library, so this is a kind of public beta where you can... this new kind of photos app across all the platforms. You add a photo, it appears everywhere. You add a video, it appears everywhere. And uses iCloud. That is now a public beta. There's a whole lot of bug fixes. The camera roll returns because lots of people were confused. The camera roll disappeared with iOS 8. It was out yesterday. I put it on my iPad and not the iPhone just because one's bitten and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to break my phone again. And it seems to have fixed the Wi-Fi issues I was having. I had terrible... Every 5 minutes on the iPad, Wi-Fi would drop.
Yeah, it's not good.
And this was one of the bug fixes that they did say they were fixing with 8.1. So that put on yesterday, and it seems to be working okay now.
Yosemite is out now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can get it for free.
It came out last... when was the keynote? Thursday. Strange day for a keynote. It came out on Thursday night, very late, but I put it on the air on Saturday. Went on fine. Seems to be working okay. I have yet to put it on the iMac for two reasons. One, we were podcasting and I didn't want it to like suddenly all break and fail. And then secondly, I'm probably going to wipe and start fresh, which is a horrible thought, but then I think I will benefit in the long run.
I'm nearly at that point now. Yes, it's too slow at the moment. But the reports I've heard are that it has gone better this rollout than previous ones. Like normally, I do wait for the next major bug point release to do it. But it sounds like other people. But I think the public beta helped, and the fact that they've done so many different revisions through that stage.
I think they've picked up far more issues. Whereas before, although the developer community were really good at reporting back bugs, I think it's a different mindset, a different set of people.
Yeah, because they're only interested in what they're doing, their apps and their bits and bobs. It's not.
And also, you could also argue, is there a sensible set of users within that community? You know, they're probably the top 1 or 2% of users, know how to work things, can work around things. Whereas general users like me and you are thick.
If you have an idea about what an app should do and you think, well, I'm clicking a button, so I'm waiting for a response, but there's plenty of people out there that will click four buttons in the meantime. And that you as a developer think, well, no one will do that. And people do, all those kind of things. So it also gives them better publicity because you sign up and you sign a document to say, this is a beta product and you are doing the testing. You're doing this off your own bat. There's no comeback. That's what you do. And so they get out all these bugs without having to respond or not respond as Apple do. iWork. So that's available for people running Yosemite, is that right?
Yeah, and also, so there was new versions in iOS and Mac, so supporting all the kind of iCloud Drive and all the handoff stuff that comes now with Yosemite and iOS 8. Yeah.
So iPad, first new product, iPad Air 2. So it's thinner. As I keep bleating on, thinner's not always better, but I guess in a product where you're calling it Air, it's probably a good idea to make it lighter at least.
I think shaving the weight off because, I'm using a Surface at work at the moment and
too heavy.
I'm falling into the trap of trying to use it like the iPad and it is heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it feels heavy, but it's more than that. So you need to kind of have that in your head when you're using it,
Okay.
Weak wrists. So
and they've decided to go down, at least they've called it the Air, but like I say, there comes a point when how thin do you want to go? What's the point of it being paper thin, anti-reflective coating, which sounds like a good positive step.
I thought you were just saying it was there was side by sides and it actually showed quite a difference.
I've not watched any of this keynote, by the way. I've been
it wasn't
recovering.
An Apple. I know. Well, you were busy, but the you were anyway. The There was a side by side that one of the Verge or somebody had done, just showing you know an Apple Ear and an Air 2 next to each other,
yep,
under the same light, so at the same angle, and sure enough, quite a marked difference.
Yep.
So nice.
The A8X chip to speed things up. It's got 10 hours battery, which is still within the remit of fine. And they've upgraded the camera a lot.
Yeah, camera's a big upgrade because camera was always a bit of a dog.
Well, they didn't have it for ages. Then they put the duffer one in, and then they sort of said, "Oh, actually, people are using it." Okay.
So this is like the camera from the iPhone 5S. Mm-hmm. So it can do, you know, time lapse, slow mo at 120p. Sorry, I put 120p. It should be 120 frames. I can't type. Yeah. It can do the panorama for the first time, and it is a really good camera. And it's almost like after everybody laughing at the people using it, they're saying, "Well, lots of people want to use it, and if it's the only camera you've got, it's better than nothing." I still think it looks daft, but then...
But people don't seem to care.
No.
Touch ID's been rolled in. Pixelmator, what were they demoing?
Just basically a Pixelmator for iOS. They were just talking about how... And it just focused on it. And it was nice. The two demos were actually from two, you know, kind of European independents. Mm-hmm. But rather than going for the... Because when they started talking about, oh, we're going to do some demos, you were like, oh, we're going to get EA.
Here comes EA.
You know, or we're going to get some crap. Hey, yay! You know, I've beat the demon, yeah. And it was just a nice demo of showing you some very simple Pixelmator move, and it's the usual. Remember what, 3-4 years ago, and is it Adobe or Adobe?
Oh, Adobe.
I know. But remember they showed you this for the first time where you could, you know, almost like paint out something and the mm-hmm. intelligent in the background yeah. came in and you were like, oh my goodness, well, they did that in the iPad. Just went round a person with his thumb and whoop, okay. disappeared, and there was a nice sandy background that would match everything else, and it was like, yeah, good demo. And then the replay demo again was a video demo, and it was all these different video clips, and they merged them all together in a nice video without you having to do much editing. So it was two kind of nice apps, just showing you again it's the apps that really make.
We said it all along, and they just have to keep making sure they keep up to date with, you know, making it battery good and keeping up with the extra power they need for all the new chips.
Yeah, they still seem to attract more developers to that platform than Android are doing at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
And that might change. There's some signs that might change. But
there are at least some premium things on Android now, whereas they never were before. So yeah. At least people put an effort in sometimes. But you're right, still not got quite the same capture, shall we say.
No.
Silver, grey and gold. The models come 16, 64 and 128 gigabytes, so starting still 399, which I know you've said, you know, you're not keen on the 16 gig anymore because what's the point, but 399 as a price point is still amazing.
I know, but Apple, they're rolling in money. They should have went for 32 and see if they could have done it for like 330 or sorry 430.
No, I don't necessarily agree. I think there's because you'd never buy that product anyway. You'd always go for the higher one, and someone
I'm seeing so one of my.
I don't want music. I don't need anything on this device. I just, you know, 399 is a great point.
I know, but I know it's a great point, but 16 gigs rubbish.
No, survive with it easy.
And the reason I'm saying that, so one of my mates at work, Robert, he's just picked up an iPhone for the first time. I don't think he's had an iPhone. He's always been an Android or Windows user, but unbelievably. And he's went for an iPhone 6 Plus, so he's going in, he likes his big phones, yeah. And he's went 16 gig because he's got kids, Christmas is coming, that's what he can afford. And I'm like, once you, you know, put on a few apps, and I know I'm a bit daft with apps, so I know it's like, but once you even start taking videos and photos, it's gonna, oh
yeah, I survive with it still, just about. I'd have to do a bit of management sometimes, but I don't want my music on there and stuff, so it's not an issue. And then six, you've got the same models with cellular, and basically they're 100 up, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
iPad Mini 3, they've integrated Touch ID. They've given you a gold version, and then that's probably a bit it.
Yeah, really. this was quite controversial. Last year, the Mini came out at the same, basically the same specs as the Air. So the Air, the choice you made was, do I want the Air size or do I want the smaller screen?
What size do I want, yeah?
And this year, they went back and said, actually, you're going to get a big performance difference. You've got the current Mini, so that is the A7 chip, because it wasn't the A8. So it's the A7 chip. The issues that that now brings for developers with iOS 8 and then probably iOS 9, because basically everybody's now assuming, well, they need to support that with iOS 9 because they're still selling that this year.
Yep, so they are diluting their...
So that means 2 years you're going to have to continue to support that chipset, which has got issues. But it's back to the... A lot of people were going to say, yeah, I can't wait for Touch ID in the Mini. And they're like, oh, I've only got one choice now. If I want Touch ID on a tablet, it's the iPad Air.
Yeah. So I can see, you can see it from both sides, like, you know, Apple not wanting to stagnate the Air by having to keep everything possible to get into the Mini. I can kind of see, but the developers now in that situation, which we talk about for Android, which is they've got a lot of different form factors now that they've got to
absolutely cater. And I mean, the original Mini's still there as well. So you've still got the Mini, the Retina Mini 3,
right,
you've got the Air, and you've got the Air 2, because they're still selling the Air. So there was like four or five different, and it was each of them was $50 difference. So you could basically be in there and say, no, I can only afford that. You know, but look at what you could have had, you know, for that $50 more. But it just feels like a lot of choice again. You know, it's back to the, you used to have a fairly, it's this tablet or it's this phone, and that's your lot. And it's now like, it's all these tablets and all these colors with all these different memory configurations, or do you want cellular in that as well?
Still, they're not doing badly out of it.
No.
And the pre-orders are already open and they're shipping end of this week, guys.
Friday. Yep. So lots of people I know have bought new tablets.
Of course.
So well done.
Apple SIM. So this is basically an open SIM, if you like, that you then put onto a different carrier. So effectively, it's an operating system difference that you actually choose what carrier that you're going to associate that SIM with and then attach to their kind of tariffs, which makes so much sense.
It does.
Again, it takes an Apple to actually force people into a room to talk about it and get it sorted, because what is the point of having these different chips for different carriers? It's no
point. I know.
They do the same thing.
And I agree with you. I don't understand. I guess it's maybe just clout now because Apple are so big and dominating. Maybe there's nobody else that can force it to happen, but they seem to be able to do these things. Because as you say, it makes no sense.
It's not global yet, and it's only on certain carriers. But in the UK, we're going to get T-Mobile EE, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, and in America, it's AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm sure other people will follow suit, but I wonder what deal's going on in the background. iMac Retina. So this is quite an interesting one. So what was always likely to come, but they did it, you know, they did it supersized as ever. So the 27-inch is going to be a 5K display, which is bonkers.
I want.
Yeah, of course you do. I haven't watched the keynote yet. I think I've said before, my iMac has now got a dead, pretty much dead area where the backlight's dying. But you are paying a lot of money. So like you say in the notes here, so it starts at $2,000, but when you actually do the add up to where you're going to end up, most people would easily get to $2,500, but actually I think where you need to be is $3,000.
Probably there's, and it's basically, it's a £400 premium for that display and the graphics you need to drive it.
You'd want to upgrade your graphic card to the higher model. You definitely want their Fusion drive at a minimum.
Do you know what? I don't even know if I'd go Fusion. I swore I would, but I'm now thinking, would I just stick with SSDs?
You get a lot less space.
I know, but then and it's a nice dilemma. If you take the 27-inch iMac and the 27-inch iMac with Retina and everything's the same, it's a £400 difference.
Yeah.
And as you said, I'm at least $2,500.
And £400 for that kind of display is pretty amazing. You would easily pay that for a 4K display, in fact, a lot more. So.
Yeah, and it's bonkers because the rumor was Dell were going to release a 5K display for just over £2,000. So, exactly. So this is around the same price, and you've got a computer with it, which is amazing. And there was kind of boggling stuff came out the weekend. A Mac Pro can't drive that screen. So people with Mac Pros were sitting there saying, oh, can I use that as a monitor? No, because DisplayPort 1.2, which is what the Mac Pro comes with, can't drive that many pixels.
Mm. Which didn't surprise me.
And what's come out today is that Apple are basically using two DisplayPort 1.2s within the iMac to drive that display.
To get them, so it's half and half almost. Yeah.
Which is...
I am as tempted as I am by it, I certainly don't have that kind of cash right now, but as tempted as I am by it, I also think that they're pushing things to a limit here, and let's see whether it survives for the first few months, because they've had problems before with this kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And DisplayPort 1.3 has come out, which supports up to 8K, and everybody was semi-guessing in the background, I bet you they're using this, and they're not, but I bet you next year's will.
Yes. So is it better waiting for that next model just to let it all settle in?
Mine's is, I've got a 27-inch iMac right now. It's 3 years old. It's there's nothing wrong with it. And I think my upgrade point will be another at least 2 years away.
Yeah. Mine's dragging because I've got too little memory and my it's an old hard disk, and therefore it's just starting to struggle. So that definitely makes me think, you know, when you're buying a computer nowadays, you really do have to be starting to think solid state, and you just need to cram it with memory.
Without a doubt. Because I think if I was buying a desktop Mac, I'd be like, you know, as you're saying, SSDs, the Fusion, and I mean, I've got 16 just now, but I'd probably thinking about 32.
Yeah, I think I would. I do a bit more video editing and stuff like that nowadays. Exactly. And the more memory you have, the better it goes.
Yep.
So Mac Mini, they also have basically released a little point update. They've got two Thunderbolt ports now, faster graphics and processing, and it's cheaper than it used to be.
Yeah, it's 100 quid cheaper.
Which is a nice little thing.
A nice little upgrade, but then as usual with Apple, they've taken some stuff away. You can't upgrade the memory yourself. You can't upgrade the disk yourself. You used to be able to do that.
It's such a weird... We've said it all along that this thing could have been their kind of streamer, but I guess they couldn't get it down to the cost they needed to get it down to. No. So it just sat there being this a bit of a weird anomaly.
Yeah, I know.
Google, not to be bettered though, have been out announcing stuff.
And they announced the day before, and I was slightly more interested in Google's, to be honest.
Okay, there we go. So they've come forward, they've announced their Lollipop, which is their latest operating system. This is coming soon to all the existing Nexus devices, but it will be launching on some new devices, which they also announced at the same time. So they announced the Nexus 6, so it's a 6-inch display. They've announced the Nexus 9 tablet, and they also released a Nexus player and streaming type device, so a kind of Roku box. Basically, six. Let's go through the Nexus 6. That's massive.
Yeah, and I think it's too big.
But
it was interesting because
I don't want to buy it
because Google's Nexus line has always been seen as the kind of, it's slightly cheaper and it's like for the developer community. So this is like a reference design against this, and it kind of works everywhere.
I've seen enough Nexus 5s around that I know it's very popular, not just in the dev community. No frills, just a simple thing and priced really competitively. And they've moved away from it.
Yeah, and that was the thing, because there was some folk at work bought it because... It was, if you looked at the iPhone price and you looked at the Samsung, because Samsung was basically the same price. It was like, we'll sell you the same phone at that price. And you might get deals, you know, more openly with Samsung maybe after a month or two.
Yeah.
But the Nexus line was never like that. It was like, hold on, we'll sell it for half the price.
I can't remember what I paid for it in the end, but it was probably $300, something like that, maybe.
Well, I was going to say about 200 quid, so that's probably about the same.
So I
had $199 in my head for UK price.
And that's almost a no-brainer then, because it was an unlocked phone.
It was unlocked. It was a decent screen. It was fast enough. The camera was okay. It wasn't as great as the iPhone, but one of these things, something had to give. And it was, they've probably cut back on the things that maybe some people didn't find as important, because at the end of the day, using that phone, as you say, it was really good. People loved it, and there's people at my work still love it. This is different. So this is actually... like top notch, top spec, really big, but the price goes with it. So this is up there with the Samsungs and the iPhone prices.
Yep. So it's $649. So we're talking at least 450 quid, probably something along those lines.
Yeah, and lots of people are disappointed. I mean, that was the instant reaction. Was people were like, it was two things. It was like, ooh, that looks fantastic, but that's massive. A 6-inch phone is massive, but it's not that far off the size of an iPhone 6 Plus. And by that I mean the actual outer case dimensions, because they've went more edge to edge.
Yeah.
Because they
effectively this is a rebranded Moto X phone.
Yeah.
And I mean, because all Nexuses basically are based on other products. But yeah, it's got some nice features. I mean, it looks well specced. It looks like a nice design. It looks all those things. It's changing what they've been doing with their product line so far.
And it touches on your point that there's far more people. This wasn't the Nexus, which we kind of saw as a developer one, has turned into more a consumer one. And yep. Google is saying,
we're turning it fully consumer now. Yeah.
Capitalizing that, and here's our new model. Six is big, but it's interesting that they've just got one. I mean, see if you look at the Samsungs and now Apple with their multiple, you know, if you want a, you can get the 5S, you can get the 5C, you can get the 6, and you can get the 6 Plus.
You know what, though? It's more interesting to me that they've only got one and it's the larger one. It's not like they've got, if I was only going to have one phone, it would be the smaller form factor. But clearly the market is telling them that's not what people want. But I don't think yet people know what they really need.
I still think there's a big enough market that will want it. That, see, the 6 I've got, that's big enough for me for a phone. I do not want a bigger phone.
No. Sorry, I'm reducing our show notes to a completely disorganized thing because I'm gonna let's go to the Nexus the 9.
It's all good.
The Nexus 9 is the tablet, which is based built by HTC this time. HTC have been well respected now for probably a couple of years of making really really good devices that just never get the sales they deserve really. The Nexus 9 is basically a really well specced premium product.
Yep, it's I was just looking down here, so it's the first one they're bringing out with a 64-bit processor as well.
That's got a big change, obviously.
Yeah, definitely, because I think Apple were kind of trumping that last year as, you know, we've got the 64-bit processor, and this year they've obviously kind of, you know, made that faster, and they're saying how many apps that are supporting that. So I think they had to kind of you know, catch up in that in some ways, but it's good to see. As you see, HTC make great hardware but don't really get the sales, so it'll be interesting to see if this kind of Nexus brand,
the price is right. Starting at 319, going up to 399 is the top price here, but I guess that's not got the cellular in it.
Yeah, cellular's not been announced for UK yet, so the only ones you can get in the UK are the 16 gig at 320 and the 32 at 399.
It's going with a 4:3 aspect ratio rather than 6:9, and I've talked about that before, saying I think that's probably still a fair enough move. Got 9 hours battery life, which is nice. And also, HTC have also been known recently for their speakers in mobile devices. It's been pretty high quality, and they've put in a good set of boom speaker technology, they're calling it, into the tablet.
I think that 4:3 format is kind of one for tablets.
Yeah, I have to say I just couldn't believe it when the iPad came out as 4:3, and
it's
totally sold over by now.
Yeah, because you're seeing most of the Android devices going to the Surface. So Microsoft Surface has moved from the widescreen back to the. Yeah. And I think it's when you go landscape,
feels smaller, even though you've got more space. It feels smaller. It's when operating systems went landscape. Suddenly you missed the height.
As soon as the keyboard comes in, you're like, this is unusable. Yep. And that was the big thing. I think lots of people using the iPad, it was like, that's going to win. And it did.
Yep. No, I agree. So that was the Nexus 9. Looks like a nice proposition if you were in the market for an Android tablet. So let's have a quick chat over the Nexus Player then. Because, I haven't seen this in the keynote. But it sounds like they might be onto something with this one. This might finally...
Well, this is like I don't know if this is their fourth or fifth go. Tried to do a TV player. They've had quite a good number. This just actually reminded me of more of the Amazon Fire, in that it's got an app store, it lets you play games, there's going to be a games controller for it, you can, there's a microphone to do voice search from the remote. It was almost like, you know, tick for, you know, feature set, tick, 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 you know, between Amazon and Google. But it looks really. See the fact they've got an app store, and I still think it's such a big miss for Apple that there's not a. Yep. I ended up in a bit of a Twitter debate with a couple of guys, you know, just around the Apple TV. One chap saying they don't need to update it, and it's like I think they're falling massively behind.
Well, they've not done anything with it, have they?
No, I know it's really simple, and I got back. Well, it's updated for iOS 8, and it's like they've changed some colours. There's You know, and so I think the only noticeable feature that Apple TV with iOS 8 brought along was you don't need to be on a Wi-Fi network now. You can actually just with AirPlay. So see if I was like, you know, down visiting, you know, or sitting in a hotel, I don't need to hook it up onto the same Wi-Fi network. Yeah. Via Bluetooth and via AirPlay, I can just send the data and watch.
That's
it
quite
instead.
A big thing in it for that hotel experience, actually.
It is, and but it's a small market.
So they've inside this Nexus Player, as well as doing all the app stores and stuff, they have also included the sort of Chromecast-y type experience. So anywhere that is already making use of that Chromecast type affair will also be able to use down this product. Price point is kind of similar to most of the things around there, $99, but their game controller is going to cost about $40 on top of that. But you know, I wonder how well Android games will scale up onto the full experience. Who knows?
I think some of them will be fine. See some of the kind of, you know, some of the kind of racing games and the top down adventure type games, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, and I think that hotel room type idea is maybe where this comes into its own as well, just being able to take it along with you.
And if I look at some of the really successful kind of, you know, live arcade games or the ones that are indie games in the Sony store, it's all you need.
Yep. So let's go back to where we should have started, really, and so Lollipop. So Lollipop's their latest operating system, so it's going to be on all these new devices we've been talking about, but it's also going to be rolled out to Nexus 4 and 5 and 7 and 10 over the coming weeks, so soon you'll get that notification that's there. And this is, if you remember back to Google I.O., they were talking all about their new material design and what that meant and how that was going to be sort of realized across all their different devices. And this is the release that sort of puts that into practice.
Yeah, I actually quite like this. Certainly this kind of screens and animations I've seen so far look really nice. Feature-wise, they've not put a tremendous amount of information out about it yet, but I think they've been focusing on standardization, focusing on battery life, focusing on some of the kind of back-end stuff, and also a bit like iOS. Here's a whole lot of APIs, so developers, get at it.
Yeah, 5,000 new APIs put out there for them. User experience. We've said it before that Android over the years started off as a mishmash. Even their own apps looked different, and slowly it got pulled back together. And today, I haven't obviously tried Lollipop yet, but the one, whatever I'm on now, is it KitKat? It does feel like an integrated experience. There's still some weird things that stick out, and I think this will maybe reduce that down even more. Good for them. So that's Google. There's been some other news around, so let's get on with that.
Just before we do that, is there anything out of those announcements that you'd be thinking, yeah, I'll be buying that?
I don't have any money. Mm. If I had money, then I would be tempted by... No, I'm not, actually. Mm. I'm not, because I don't want a 6-inch phone.
And it's interesting, because I looked at some of the Google... always like to try. I've got the Nexus 7, but it's a couple of years old, and boy, does it feel slow.
Yeah.
But the whole keeping up with Android has been interesting. And on the Apple side, see if it was the right time, that desktop would be very tempting. But the iPad Air, see, apart from Touch ID, and I'm not going to spend all that money to get Touch ID.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just not going to happen. So it's interesting, just not a lot screamed out for me.
No, desktop for me would be the new Mac, iMac would be the
one. When I win Euro Millions in half an hour's time, I'll buy you one.
Yeah, well, if you could, that'd be really nice. Because that's exactly what I need right now, especially in my work, just because, you know, things slowing down on my... You know, things slow down over the years, don't they? So, but...
Tell me about it.
Yeah, and it is a nice proposition, but I would still wouldn't buy it now. I'd still wait... As we said at the time.
Very cutting edge, like cutting edge on the cusp of everything moving. And
I don't know how much testing they've done, but if you're pushing something to a limit like that.
They must have.
The graphics cards are going to have to, they're going to be wheezing. Right to be forgotten. BBC is actually going to put a list up on its website of every single article that has been removed from the Google listing.
Good for them.
Because they're seeing some examples where they've had articles removed from Google's listings because someone left a comment on one of the, you know, so it's nothing to do with the actual article itself. It's just that someone left a comment on the particular page and they've been, Google has then removed it. So I think there's also a call for Google to be a bit more reasonable on what it's doing and not taking the easy action, which is just remove straight away and having to make that. It's not fair that it's Google's decision. That's my point, really. But there you go. They have got to make these decisions and they've got to now make them better.
And this is across the EU, and it's interesting. There was the TechCrunch Disrupt, I think, it was a conference this week, and one of the TechCrunch journalists says, "I no longer trust Google.co.uk. Yeah. I only use Google.com because at least I know it's unfiltered."
Yeah, there you go. And that's the whole mire that we're getting into.
But then I think it was Japan. Somebody has went to court, very similar to this, just saying there's a European ruling. I can do it in Europe. Why can't I do it here? So it's going to end up being around the world. No, it will do.
Yeah, it's hard. And for good reason as well. I know we often pick out the bad reasons, but there is a reason for it. I'm being devil's advocate.
I know, yeah.
You should see the look I just got. I feel shamed. There is a reason for it to be there, I'm sure. But when you get into censorship, it's a messy, messy thing. Facebook has launched a safety check feature. So if your latest check-in or recent phone location or whatever was in an area that's either a disaster zone or whatever, it will offer you an easy way to actually notify everyone on your friends list that you are actually okay. No comment.
Very nice.
Features done. They're in a position they could offer that service, so they have done.
And I think what they're reacting to is, I think after like earthquakes in America, lots of people are asking their friends, "Are you okay?" And
the cellular networks all get put out, and they get completely wiped out. So
it's a thing that they can actually do quite easily.
Yeah.
You know that I know where you are, and there has been an earthquake here. Do you want to just tell everybody you're okay?
And it's really nice publicity for Facebook. A new story like that.
Because if you think of the publicity over the last year, it's not been great. Whereas this is like, yay, well done.
Exactly. really helps shareholders. Google, another piracy story, this one. So Google, with an aim to placate the BPI, who keep telling them they shouldn't be putting results up on the first page for illegal sites, have kind of just pointed out to BPI that they can buy adverts at the top and right-hand side of their pages, and they can be for the legal sites, and then they beat on the page the illegal sites. But they've kind of said, we're not removing the illegal sites, but here you go, you pay for the promoted areas.
That does seem a bit odd.
Yeah, because those, I mean, that's not a new feature. But BPI are like, yeah, we're very happy, other than we have to pay.
Yeah. And they've fought doing this for ages because Google kept on saying, you know, well, you know, we don't want to do X, Y, and Z. But again, politics, big industry, you know, it's...
The BPI is broadly pleased that they've had this feature.
They're broadly pleased, just don't want to pay for it. They want a free advert.
Spotify has announced that it's going to put family plans available to people. So you can basically, if someone is paying the full price for the streaming option, say $4.99, they'll be offered, family members will be offered at half price to also have their own accounts, basically, which is a nice thing. We've seen it across sort of software and, you know, even things like the Office applications now and things like that have these family deals. And it makes sense because parents can then be pretty sure that their kids aren't just using their internet to download loads of dodgy stuff. They're all nice and clean and tidy, and Spotify gains a lot more from it and becomes a more viable service than, you know, trying to just get more advertising on their free tier.
Yeah, seems good. It seemed like it was one of the most requested features.
I wonder that they're always going to say that.
Yeah.
It's one of the most requested features that we could actually do.
Audio have been doing it for a while. I think they've been doing it for 3 years.
Yeah.
And Beats Music... we're doing something as well. Another thing, I mean, we covered it a few weeks ago about how streaming's becoming the thing. So Apple have bought Beats, and they're trying to half the price is what they're aiming for.
Well, I work in the music industry, with the music industry, and it's noticeable how much more Spotify gets pushed on the sites that I work with nowadays. They're more happy to push people to Spotify, so they're clearly sorting out the deals in the background and And it's showing them now that they can actually make money that way. And that's where people are listening to the songs. Because that's at the end of the day, that's what they're interested in. Wherever people listen to it is where they have to be, really.
Yes.
Twitter's music card is now available to play inside of mobile apps. And it also supports iTunes previews. So this was the service that they had with SoundCloud. So you could actually play SoundCloud stuff within the stream without using any more characters up. And they're now doing that for iTunes previews.
It's just becoming Facebook.
Basically, that's what they ended up. So yeah. I thought iTunes previews, so you can listen to the first 3 seconds of a song, whatever it was. Well, fantastic. And then they said, actually, it means you can tweet out podcasts. And I was like, oh. Suddenly it became more interesting. Not that
let's look into
selfish
that.
self-centered and all that kind of thing. But they also announced that they are going, they've done some experiments recently about pushing tweets out that not on your followers lists based on signals, as they call them, as to how popular a tweet is and how closely it relates to you or your friends that you're following.
That gives me Twitch moments.
Yeah. So basically they are saying we control the stream now and what goes into it. And it is now no longer the you know, tweet and follow rules, basically.
And it just makes me slightly. And I noticed some people after iOS 8 coming out saying they're actually going back and trying the official Twitter client just because they've done so much more around it now. And I tried it and I hated it. I just didn't like it.
It's not how I use Twitter, so I...
No.
But they are changing the product, and maybe for people who actually use it in a different way from us, it makes it much more sense.
Maybe. And it's a bit like you're saying about the using these Twitter cards for, you know, podcasts, and it's maybe something we do need to look at, that there are other options out there for getting things out and about.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be so close-minded.
That's what it is. We're just getting too old.
Move your cheese.
As is my voice right now. I'm slowly getting more deeper and deeper on the bass levels.
Exactly. It's like 25 hours a day has just caught me.
Amazon, another service to basically get your orders to you the same day. This one doesn't involve a drone. It's called Pass My Parcel, and basically allows you to get Amazon to deliver your parcel to a local store same day. As long as you order before 11:45 in the morning, it can be there anytime after 4 p.m. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
It's kind of getting them more in the retail market and actually giving a reason for shops to still be on the high street, right? Parcel delivery depots.
Because I think, I'm just trying to see, I think it was Smiths have tied up with.
Okay.
And they're talking about it's like 500 newsagents and convenience stores.
I have to say, even my local shop just across the road, it is now offering a parcel pickup and drop off.
And as is mine. And it's interesting because I got a bit of feedback. So mine's is only like 200 yards away. Yeah. And it's one of these things that when you're ordering it, it popped up and says, oh, your local Spar now lets you do this.
Yeah.
And I was talking to them about it and the amount of grief they get.
Because they have to deal with all the rubbish that
They don't control when the parcel arrives. And they're getting lots of times where they're getting told it's coming today. Somebody turns up at 5 o'clock and it's not there. And they're like, well, where the hell's my parcel?
Yeah.
I've got Amazon telling me it's here. It's like, guy's not turned up. They've told you it's here today. Today is between, you know, when we shut.
Could be up to 9 o'clock in the evening.
Exactly. So, and they're getting quite a lot of the times that the parcel vans are coming up at like 6:30. It's almost like the last run is bringing their stuff out. So people It'll are going away down. Grumpy and all that kind of stuff.
But, you know, it's no different from having that van delivered at your house, you know.
And the advantage is that it'll come at some point and there's somebody there.
Yeah.
Whereas
you're not going to get the card.
Yeah, and nobody wants the card.
Yeah.
Well, nobody wants Yodo when you get the email from Amazon saying, our partner today is Yodo.
Oh, damn. HBO, they are finally going to launch their own streaming service. So rather than have to go through cable or Sky subscription or whatever you happen to peruse your HBO content, it will now be available as their own service. Only US at the moment, right?
Yep, it is only US, I know we kind of keep saying we try and keep it UK focused. The reason for this is the kind of thing that I think Apple are waiting for. this kind of change in the TV model is this kind of thing. That, you know, so that you can just have a almost like I'll just pay for that little station on its own with that content. Don't need to go through a cable provider. Go. Because Apple, I can see them launching a service next year with it's got, you know, this, and this, what people see as essential, and it's there.
I kind of wish that they just, instead of doing their own thing, I wish they'd gone on Netflix, because then I'm sorted.
Yeah, I know.
But the thing is, Netflix are now a competitor to HBO as well.
Massively. So Netflix is, I mean, the day after
they commission TV, so, and they're the only ones that can get close to HBO on quality at the moment. Well, BBC do quite a good job.
I mean, HBO did this announcement, I think, was it 10-15% the Netflix share price dropped?
Or was it? Okay, because,
really big impact. Mm. And I think it kind of recovered. It was one of these, like, sure.
Deflation impact, yeah. Steam have pulled the game. Steam, the monopoly of PC gaming, really, or in fact, desktop gaming, I'd say. They are big in the market, and they decided they're going to pull a game because a developer got irate at the fact that they made a mistake or two, and then tweeted that he was going to kill one of the founders.
Yes.
It's not a wise thing to do.
No. And we've talked, we've kind of deliberately stayed away from the Gamergate stuff too much because it's very messy it's horrible. And part of me always thinks maybe we should just come out and just say, like, you know, don't support that in any way, shape or form. It's a disgrace. But anyway, this was kind of similar in that this guy who'd Paranautical Activity, his game, they made a mistake. So I think they'd said it was still... And when it was released, it was still down as early access, which he believed would greatly cripple sales. So he spent years of his life, he's very frustrated, and he went in a bit of a tweet storm about he was going to kill Gabe and do all that kind of stuff. And then eventually it came out, I am going to kill Gabe Newell. He is going to die. And so Valve said, right, we're pulling it. We're pulling your developer account. Sod off. And now he's like, oh,
sorry.
No.
Sorry, I didn't mean it. Yeah, clearly didn't mean it, but yeah, it's.
I just find it quite amusing.
It's he shouldn't have done it, but then again, Valve are a monopoly, but nevertheless, if you tell somebody to kill them, you can ask off.
Let's Brian, if you're in that position with a monopoly or not, and somebody said that, you'd be like, come on.
If someone looked at me funny, your account's gone.
sorry for the look I gave you earlier.
Exactly, you're out. You're out. This podcast would be very boring if it was just me.
but it would be factually correct, and it would finish in time.
I think you're over egging that one. That is the end of the news we're going to cover. It's been just over a week since we last did the podcast, but that's a fair bit's gone on. It's amazing how some weeks happen like that. But we're soon to go into the dry zone. I don't think lots will happen because we'll have Christmas announcements and that'll be it, done.
Yeah, and I'm also disappearing for a couple of couple of weeks at a time. So, but we'll sort that out.
Yeah, that's all sorted. We will let you know what our plans are. You can find out about everything that we do and what we talk about at digitaloutbox.com. My voice is going to last. Email at info@digitaloutbox.com. If you want to talk to us, and you can also talk to us Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, and my racing blog, if you want to follow along, all those things, and I will be releasing a few sort of end of season type review type things, and that's on academyracer.co.uk. Where can we find you?
Oh,
that's my phone.
That was good timing.
Let's get through this.
Blog is indie.net. Twitter is Reaper. And
this could be an emergency. Hurry up. Cheers. Speak to you later. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hello?